Becoming a Geek Leader.
Welcome to the Becoming a Geek Leader podcast. My name is Tom Cooper. As a geek, I'm on a mission to figure out better ways to lead others at work and at home. Through the Becoming a Geek Leader podcast, I'm sharing what I'm learning so I can help make you more effective at leading people too. Ready?
Cactus 15.9, turn left lane 270.
Cactus 15.39, hit birds, lost thrust on both engines, returning back towards LaGuardia.
Okay, you need to return to LaGuardia. Turn left heading of 220.
220.
Tower, stop your departure. He's got emergency returning. It's 15.9. Bird strike. He lost all engine. He lost the thrust in the engines. He's returning immediately.
Cactus 15.29. Which engines?
He lost thrust in both engines, he said.
Got it.
Cactus 15.29. We can get it for you. Do you want to try to land 1313?
We're unable. We may end up in the Hudson.
Well, as many of you know, the movie Sully was released this weekend, and I have to tell you that ever since I heard about the Miracle on the Hudson, I have been intrigued. I have been an aviation buff for many, many years, and I'm always fascinated to hear about things. And here's an example of something that is just amazing. My wife and I over the weekend had an opportunity to go see the movie in IMAX, and I don't generally make movie reviews or even movie recommendations, but I will tell you that I was inspired by the things that I saw in this film. What I want to do tonight is I want to share with you some ideas, things that I picked up, leadership lessons from the movie Sully. I was on a mastermind group call tonight, and for those of you who don't know what a mastermind group is, it's a group of like-minded individuals who are committed to growing together and developing their skills. And one of my colleagues and friends and mentors, Paul Gustafson, had organized a call around the Sully movie, and that's really what drove me, even after a very busy week, to go see the film. There are a number of things that I want to share with you, and regular listeners of the podcast would know that this regularly scheduled episode should be episode 10 in season 2, but I am preempting the regularly scheduled program to talk about leadership lessons from the movie Sully. I will be posting on the website, in the show notes section, I'm going to be posting links to some of the source materials that I looked at as I was preparing for this. Now, you know that I'm pretty geeky, and what I did after I saw the movie was I was just blown away by all the geekiness that was in the film. And I noticed that the NTSB had a public hearing, and I said, well, if there was a public hearing, there must be a public transcript. And so subsequent to watching the movie Saturday night, I came home and I downloaded the transcript of the NTSB's public hearing on that. I listened to the cockpit voice recordings, and I also read the accident investigation report put out by the NTSB. I will put links to those items as well as a trailer for Sully in the show notes. So those are the source materials. I just am blown away by some of the things that I picked up from the movie. And what I want to do is tie in a couple of laws from John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. You know, for example, he only had 204 seconds, I think it was, from the time the birds hit the aircraft until the plane ended up in the Hudson River. And you think about how powerful that is. And at one point in the movie, Sully says something along the lines of, for 42 years I've been flying, I've landed a million passengers safely, and my entire career is going to be judged on 200 seconds. And it's true. It's unbelievable. First of all, I want to talk about the law of priorities. And that says that leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment. There's a mantra in the aviation community that says your priorities are aviate, navigate, and communicate. So you start with aviating, making sure the plane doesn't crash, then you figure out where you're going, and then you tell people about what's going on. We see the flight instructor early in the movie telling a young Sully to say, always fly, he says to the Sully, always fly the plane first. Sully was focused on making sure he knew the things that needed to happen and when they needed to happen. He applied the right things at the right time. I have friends who are pilots, and all the pilots I know are control freaks. And one of the things that I observed also was the point of the law of timing. When to lead is as important as what to do and where to go. Sully knew when the bird strike happened that he needed to take action and take action quickly. And it was just a few seconds after that happened that he said he was in control of the aircraft and he was going to fly that plane because he was going to take initiative at the right time to do the work. But he got busy flying the aircraft. He did his job of aviating first, and he was focused entirely on that. What I think is interesting, too, is his thinking about the law of intuition. Leaders evaluate everything with a leadership bias. He spent his career studying and preparing and training and thinking about refining his craft. He made it his mission to be an excellent airplane pilot. He taught classes on how to manage the crew resources. He actually wrote the curriculum and then taught the curriculum for crew resource management, how to leverage the team, how to work as a crew, how to do a great job from a safety perspective. And at one point, he's quoted, it's not in the film, but I think he was being interviewed by Katie Couric, and he said something like this. He said, for 42 years, I've been making small, regular deposits in the bank of experience, knowledge, and training. And that day, the balance was sufficient to make a very large withdrawal. Now, that is really, really powerful. The law of process says leadership develops daily, not in a day. And what Sully was talking about right there was each day he was making small, regular deposits in his experience, in his knowledge, and in his training, because preparation is not wasted. And he was prepared when the time came to make a difficult decision. And I just want to point out that especially during takeoff and landing, pilots are managed by the air traffic controllers. Now, I want to point out that the word control is in air traffic controllers. These are not the air traffic recommenders or the air traffic suggesters. These are the air traffic controllers, and pilots are instructed to follow the instructions of the air traffic controllers because the ATCs are in control of the air traffic. However, in this situation, as the air traffic controller from LaGuardia was desperately looking for an opportunity to help Captain Sullenberger get back to LaGuardia Airport or potentially Teterboro Airport, any place with a runway that could save the lives of these passengers, Captain Sullenberger looked at the options he had available. He looked at the resources that he could use, and he used his experience and his training and his preparation to be able to make an informed decision. He thought critically about what was doable and what was not doable. And as he thought about going back to LaGuardia, which could potentially have worked, the problem with that was, he said, once he made a commitment to flying back to LaGuardia, it was irreversible. And it was over some of the most populated space on Earth. He had to think not only about the 155 people that were on that aircraft, but he was thinking about all the people on the ground who might be impacted by an airliner crashing while it's attempting to get back to the runway. Captain Sullenberger had been developing his leadership skills. He had been preparing and thinking about the work that needed to happen for a very, very long time. He knew his Airbus A320 aircraft inside out and backwards. Captain Sullenberger was prepared because he understood the law of process, that leadership develops daily, not in a day. As I was doing my background reading for this, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the fact that prior to this multi-day trip, Captain Sullenberger and Jeff Skiles, his second in command, they'd never met. In fact, while Sullenberger had spent many, many thousands of hours flying the Airbus A320 as pilot in command, his first officer had just 37 hours in the A320. He just barely gotten his feet wet when it came to this particular aircraft. What's fascinating is, as you look at how the events unfolded, the engines were not working, and Sullenberger was looking at the things that needed to happen. And as he was preparing, he looks over at his second in command, and he says, we need to look at the dual engine failure checklist. But the second in command wasn't waiting for the pilot to tell him what to do. He had already dug out the checklist and was already going through it. In fact, Sullenberger said that he was very impressed with the level of professionalism that he saw in his second in command that day. Because he said that previously, the books that they had, the quick references, had flip tabs in it to make it easier. But because of cutbacks, because of changes, the airline had changed the documentation to be much less well organized. And so while he was focusing on aviation, his second in command was looking carefully at the checklist to see if there were any options, anything they could do to make a difference. Now, here's the thing. Your preparation shows up when you're in the ring. If you haven't gone to the gym enough and you're in for the fight, it's going to show up that you haven't prepared. But in this case, both the pilot and the second in command had done the homework to prepare them for a very difficult situation. One thing that the movie touched on that I think is really interesting is they show him running through New York. And at one point, they show him looking over the Intrepid museum that's there and the aircraft carrier. He had actually visited that a number of times and had noted that the ferry boats were around in that area. And it was intentional. When he went to go land the plane in the Hudson River, he intentionally selected that location because it was going to be close for a place for him to be rescued. He had been using every opportunity he had to think about how to improve and refine his craft, how to be better than he was yesterday, how he could make an investment today, even when he was on his days off, even when he was not doing anything practically flying related, he was filing away information to make him ready for the time when he would need to have it. Now, for those of you who've been with me this far in the podcast, you can tell I am fired up. I'm excited about this because I'm looking at leadership lessons that I was able to pick up from this movie. One of the other lessons that I think was really valuable is the law of intuition. Leaders evaluate everything with a leadership bias. The only way that you have great intuition is if you have great knowledge. As I pointed out, Sully was filing away things he might need to know at some point in the future. I was fascinated as I looked over the transcript of the hearing, and the head of the hearing said to him, now, how did you know that you needed to turn on the auxiliary power unit? You see, the auxiliary power unit step was part of the engine restart checklist, but the problem was that the engine restart checklist was designed for an entirely different scenario. You got to remember that when Captain Sullenberger had taken off, he was only 2,500 feet off the ground when they hit the birds. Now, the plane continued to climb for a few hundred feet, but the Airbus Industries engineering department that wrote the documentation, what do you do when bad things happen, they looked at what is the most likely scenario. And from their perspective, the most likely scenario for the engines to stop was if you were at very high altitude and you ran out of fuel. So their entire mechanism, their process, was designed to assume that you were over 20,000 feet above sea level, not 2,500 feet above sea level, and they assumed that you would have plenty of time to work that out. At what point the instructions said, wait 30 seconds to try something else. Sully didn't have 30 seconds to wait. So, and as it happened, there were multiple phases to that dual engine failure checklist. The step to turn on the auxiliary power unit didn't happen until, I believe, phase three of the checklist. They never got past phase one. So if it hadn't been for Captain Sullenberger breaking protocol, not following the instructions, but instead using his own intuition to turn on the auxiliary power unit, there would not have been power to deal with many of the situations they had to deal with until the plane landed in the Hudson River. It's amazing stuff. They also, in the hearing, they asked him about how did you know that the dual engine failure checklist would be relevant to you? And he said, it was my training and my experience, again, that intuition that came from the investments that he made day after day after day after day. Sully took his responsibility for caring for his passengers very seriously. In fact, he wasn't ready to stop being captain until he knew that 155 people were okay. Now, I thought it was really interesting as I was going back and looking at the transcripts from the cockpit voice recorder. They touched on this in the movie where the three guys are headed to the airplane and they just barely make it on the aircraft. And what they didn't show is that in the cockpit, the captain was aware that three additional people had come on board. And he also knew that that paperwork might not have been managed properly. And so he pulled out his personal cell phone before they pushed back from the gate. And he called the authorities to say, make sure you update the manifest to reflect that there are not 152 people on board, but 155 people on board. He was very careful about that. He cared about the people that were under his command and under his protection. They touched on this in the movie, too. They showed him going back to the back of the aircraft, which was submerged. In fact, he went back twice to the back of the aircraft to make sure that he had gotten everybody off that he could possibly get off the aircraft. The last thing I want to touch on in the leadership lessons, and I could go on and on and on, but I will spare you my ranting for further ranting. But the last thing I want to touch on is the question of teamwork. You see, Captain Sullenberger was asked about what made him special. He was asked in the hearing about what was it about him that made it work. How could it be that he was so different from other captains who had very, very different outcomes? And he said, rather than take the ownership and say, it was me, I'm brilliant, I'm a great flyer, I did all the right things. He didn't say that at all. He said he was very humble. In fact, at one point, just a few seconds before they hit the water, he looks over at the second in command and he says, got any ideas? It takes a lot of humility for a leader to admit that he doesn't know everything, for a leader to say, can you help me? And at that point, he was asking for help. In fact, in reflection later, Sullenberger said, he had seen how effectively his second in command had gone through the checklist, had pulled out nuggets and ideas and things to try. And so he was asking one more time, is there anything else you've got that we can try? Sadly, a couple of seconds of reflection later, the first officer said, actually, not. No additional ideas right before they splashed down. But Sullenberger, he focused on the team aspect. He focused on the fact that he and his second in command were able to work as one. They didn't have to talk because they both knew their jobs. They could observe what each other was doing, and with minimal communication, they were able to make sure that the work got done. Sullenberger didn't just credit his own skills. In fact, he didn't really claim credit for himself at that point. He said his second-in-command did a great job. He said that his flight attendants did a wonderful job of organizing people and helping them to be aware of what to do and teaching them and then managing the situation to help them safely get off that aircraft. He also gave credit to the first responders, to the NYPD divers, and to the tugboat captains who came over to rescue them. Sully was quick to share the credit. And he also knew that if the investigation had found that it was, in fact, pilot error, that the plane could have returned to a runway, that he was going to take the blame. Because leaders share the victory, and leaders take the responsibility. There's so many things in this film that really stick out to me. The law of process, that leadership develops daily, not in a day. His humility to ask his second in command, got any ideas? His teamwork as they worked together. Even one of the passengers, they showed this in the film too, and it was a real thing that happened. A mom was carrying a baby on her lap, and the man next to her said, "Let me hold your baby. I'll take care of that." That they were all working as a team to help each other in the process. His law of intuition, because he had prepared, because he understood what was needed, he knew about turning on the auxiliary power unit, about looking at the dual engine failure checklist, about working through the whole process. And he understood the law of victory, that leaders find a way for the team to win. He understood that the law of priorities, activity is not necessarily accomplishment, and he was focused on aviating first, making sure that he had things taken care of. Captain Sullenberger was ready. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So for today's episode hack, I want to ask you, what are you doing to refine your craft? Not only in your technical area, but also in your area of relationship, in the area of thinking about how to grow your capabilities. You know, I've noted that if you look at interviews from Captain Sullenberger right after it happened, he was kind of stiff, and he's worked to refine his craft because now he's a spokesperson for airline safety. And he recognizes that if he's going to be effective in that role, he's got to grow his skills in the area that's most needed. So now it's not studying the technical details of being a pilot. Now it's studying what does it mean to communicate more effectively. So in what area do you need to grow your craft? In what area do you need to refine your skills? And what's something you can work on even this week so that you are ready, in that time? Just, and I'll close again with this quote from Sullenberger because I think it's really powerful. "For 42 years, I've been making small regular deposits in the bank of experience, knowledge, and training. And the balance in that account was sufficient to make a very large withdrawal that day." What deposits are you making today to prepare you for what's coming for you? Thanks so much for listening to this episode, which is a special episode focused on leadership lessons from the movie Sully. If you haven't had a chance to see the film, I highly recommend it. I saw it in IMAX, and it's very powerful and very moving. It's a great exploration of not only the incidents on the day, but also what happens to the captain as he processes the events and thinks through, did he do the right thing? And then he's held to account. And every second is examined of the time that he was in the cockpit. I hope that you've taken away a great action point, and I look forward to catching up with you again next time. Thanks. Hey, can I ask you something? Did you hear something helpful on today's episode? Why not share it with a friend? On my iPhone, it's as simple as hitting the three little dots on the bottom right of the screen, selecting Share Episode, enter your friend's email, and hit Send. Why do this? Two reasons. One, your friend or coworker will thank you. You'll be seen as a source of helpful and valuable information, and they will appreciate you for it. And number two, I need you to help me get the word out about this podcast. I'm working hard to bring great ideas and great content to you, and it's a big help to me if more people hear those ideas. Go ahead, share it now. I'll wait. Thanks. This is Tom Cooper. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join me next time for another episode of Becoming a Geek Leader. Join me in my mission of discovering better ways to lead others at work and at home.